Thank you for downloading this teaching from Freedom Apostolic Resources. It's part of a library that includes audio, video clips, and written resources available at freedomtrust.org.uk/AR. Now here's Mike Parsons.
Well, we've been looking at transformation and the whole thing of transformation. I want to continue today, and this was going to be one session on about trading, but I know it needs more than one session. So I'm going to give you foundation for trading, and then next week we'll look at all the individual parts. So you'll have the whole week to be able to seek God and ask for God's revelation of the things that are going on in trading in our lives. But we're in a place of fire where God is sending angels and removing stumbling blocks from us so that he can release a Joshua generation to inherit their land and to bring the others into it. It's a really important time. We've been using Romans 12:1-2 as a scripture for this series. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God. It is because God loves us and his covenant love and mercy that we can go through a process of transformation. And by these mercies, we present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice. So it's up to us to present them. And they need to be living and holy and acceptable to God. And we do that by entering into the realms of heaven where the tabernacle is, so we can do that. Then we don't have to be conformed to this world. It doesn't mean that we have to try and not be conformed, because if you try and not be conformed to something, you will end up being conformed to it, because that's where the focus of your thinking is. If you think about all those negative things, trying not to be negative, you end up being negative. So the idea is to think and focus on the positive things, which is allowing God to transform us by the renewing of our minds, so that we can prove what the will of God is. That will is our destiny in him. The altars that we lay ourselves as a living sacrifice are in the heavenly realms. They're not here in this realm. That tabernacle no longer exists. The heavenly tabernacle now exists. So we pass through the brazen altar into the inner court through the way of the cross. We know and we've seen that it's the way, the truth, and the life. So through the altar of incense in the holy place, through the veil of truth. And these are protocols of entry as living sacrifices into the higher realms of heaven, into different realms of his presence. So at the first stage, we deny ourselves and lose our lives so we can gain his life. We present ourselves, we saw last week, for skinning, for removing all the layers of things that have built up in our lives. And it's a picture of there of the tabernacle through the way, the truth, and the life. It's a picture of the heavenly realms where we can access this. So here, when we come through the cross, we have access into this realm. We have to go through the different veils of access so we come here. This also equates to Zechariah 3:6-7, where here, in this realm, time and space, we walk in his ways. That's what we learn to do. In this realm here, we learn to administer the principles of his kingdom. Here, we learn to judge his house, our lives. Also here, we learn to judge his courts. And up here, in the realm above this, we learn to stand in his presence. So there's a process of protocol that we follow through to engage into heaven and into the realms of heaven. Last week, we looked at the whole thing of presenting ourselves for skinning. Today, we're going to look at being split open, washed and purified, all the inner organs. And eventually, we'll look at opening the backbone to reveal the marrow, having the head chopped off and the legs chopped off. And those are all part of the process of sacrifice, and they all have meaning in what we're doing in this process of transformation. Last week we looked at this picture, that there are seeds of offense that have been sown into the soil of our hearts, which have created roots of bitterness and fruits of resentment. And to deal with those, we need to forgive and release the seed of offense, whether it's our sin, be forgiven. If it's others' sin, to release, forgive and release them. We need to repent of the roots of bitterness that developed. We need to renounce the fruit of resentment, behavior patterns in our lives, and then we need to get true revelation of our identity sown back in, our minds renewed to the truth of who we are, our eternal destiny, so that we have a secure heart, a soil of security, that we know who we are, we know we're loved, accepted by God. And then we can put down fruits, into the river of life, and then we can produce fruit, the fruit of our destiny and what God's called us to do. So there is a process that we go through, and we looked at lots of different examples of that last week. This is a process of not conforming, not being conformed, and being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So in this process, we need to give ourselves a checkup. And the best way of giving ourselves a checkup is to ask some questions. What am I saying? Because what comes out of our mouths is the overflow of what's in our hearts. So we can always determine where we are by what we're saying. What am I thinking? Am I worrying, being anxious? Or actually, are my thoughts full of peace? We can determine where my thinking is to what's coming from my heart. What am I feeling? What am I doing? All those things. If we ask ourselves those four questions, it will cover everything about us. So it will show us where we are. So if we examine ourselves, which is we do by asking those questions, we can also ask God to examine us. We've used these scriptures, search me, O God. Ask him to examine us. The difference between our examination and his examination is often the deception we're living in. Think about that. So we need to be honest. Are we willing to own the difference between what God shows us and what we think about ourselves? Because when we are, then we're in a good place for God to change us and transform us. So by faith, we enter into the holy place, into that heavenly tabernacle in surrender. And literally what happened with the sacrifice, they split open the whole body to reveal what was inside, and then even went down to the splitting with a special knife, the bone, the backbone, to open up the marrow, which is the source of life. And this is what God wants to do with us, taking us down to a different level. We've been looking at the surface stuff, and that was hard enough, wasn't it? Now he wants to go deeper and look at the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we have to open ourselves to reveal our inward parts, our emotions, our heart, subconscious mind, our will. Hebrews 4:12, so that he is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of our heart. Because it's not easy to judge ourselves. Because we're always used to thinking that way. We're always used to following pathways of meeting our own needs. So we have to ask for the revelation of his word and his spirit to show us what are the real thoughts and intentions of the heart. Psalm 139:23. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Examination, being tried, put on trial. That's what he does. And he reveals the things that are there to deal with. So, judge the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. It's our motives. Where did they come from? Why do we have the motives that we've got in our heart? And they come from things from the past. They may come from our own past decisions that form patterns within our hearts. They may come through programming, through personal experiences and environmental lacks in our lives that have programmed things into our hearts. They may come from the record of previous generational bloodline things that our family have did in our past. Right back to Adam, ultimately. Programming through generational patterns of iniquity. And we'll look at these in future sessions. So there is the fruit, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, representing it there, black. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil is the pathway and source of all self. And we really need to understand how this works, because its roots are sourced from Satan's trading, I will ascend and I will be like God. That's where it was sourced originally. And those trading roots, and I've not spelt it wrongly there, I've just used a different other word of root, are roots or pathways that we take and follow to meet our own needs. So literally, this tree becomes a pathway to produce fruit. And they all look shiny on the outside. If Satan were to offer us a fruit which was going to kill us, if it looked manky and horrible, we wouldn't eat it, would we? So it all looks shiny and attractive. All sin and pathways of creating something for ourselves and meeting our own needs looks attractive. But inside, it's death to us. So we've really got to take seriously the pathways that we follow and the ways in which we've sought to meet our own emotional needs in our lives. They will determine the motives of our heart. trading is exchanges based on the desires of our heart as a result of sin in our nature. When Adam sinned, it was passed on to everyone who was still in his loins, which is all of us. Because effectively, everything came from that source. And when he sinned, that was then passed on to all of humankind. Death came through that sin. And we'll look again more of that in the future. So the first negative trade was Satan before even time was formed. It was even before the creation of this world in the heavens. And we'll look at that. First negative trade on earth was with Adam and Eve and Satan, where he offered them something and they exchanged something in return. And we'll look at that a bit more clearly. So Satan's trading, Ezekiel 28 describes this process. Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. The king of Tyre here represents Satan. Say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection. Now we know this cannot be a human person because no one was born without being born into sin and iniquity. So effectively it couldn't be that. This was before. And it goes on to say, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, you were in Eden, the garden of God. That is in the heavenly realms. Eden is where God's garden is in the heavenly realms. Every precious stone were your covering. He had 9 precious stones covering his body. On the day you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. So where the presence of God is, the throne of God, represented by the Ark of the Covenant, you see the cherub, 2 cherubim with wings outstretched over the presence of God. They were covering the revelation that came from the presence of God. So it was like their wings were outstretched covering, and in when you read about it, they were saying, holy, holy, holy. Now what they were seeing was the revelation of God. So when they released their wings, literally that revelation went into the stones that covered their body and then shone and reflected out into the galaxy, into the universe. That's what happened. So they had revelation of the intimacy of God's presence. They were there on the holy mountain of God, which as we know where God lives in heaven is in the holy mountain. And he walks in the midst of the firestones, and the firestones are to do with this whole thing of trading. I've got time to go into that in detail today, but literally, when Satan, when he was called Lucifer as an anointed cherub covering, had revelation of man and God's plan and purposes for mankind, that is when he began to sin. Because he saw that the future destiny of the universe was not down to him and the angels, but was down to mankind. Now, when he did that, that then goes on to say what he did. Ezekiel 28:15, you were blameless in your ways until the day you were, from the day you were created, until unrighteousness was found in you by the abundance of your trade. So what did he do? Well, he took that revelation and knowledge that he had from covering the throne of God, and he went out to the angels, and he led a third of them in rebellion against God to support him to create a kingdom which counterfeited God's kingdom. So he could stop the fulfillment of God's plan. That's what he did. And you sinned. Therefore I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. So he was cast out of heaven, the realm of heaven. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the firestone. So he could no longer see the revelation of God. So from that point, he could no longer see it. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up. This is the problem with all roots of sin and trading. It's to do with the heart. It's to do with the desires of our heart, and it's to do with the desires of our heart to be like God. You corrupted your wisdom. So anything that comes from this source that Satan created in this trade is about a corruption of wisdom, and that's when we offered, you see, he offered to Adam and Eve, he offered them ungodly wisdom. By reason of your splendor, I cast you to the ground, put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your trades, or iniquities is another word for it, in the unrighteous of your trade, you profaned your sanctuary. So he left the place where he was called to be and was cast out of that. So that is the first part of what trading's about, and where Satan traded for future position. Now there's a lot of angels. I did some research on the number of stars there are in heaven, and every star had an angel attached to it, and each one of them were named. And it came up to about something like so many septillion. Now, that's a lot of numbers. So many noughts that you can hardly count. Septillion. It's not just a billion or a trillion, but it's septillion, which goes to show how many are. So there are loads and loads of fallen angels, but great thing is there are twice as many good angels. So we win. Always. Because God is not going to be defeated. Now, then Satan, because he knows what is going to happen through man, when man is placed on the earth and Adam's on the earth, Genesis 3:1, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said? Immediately, what's he doing? Casting doubt about God. Is God going to love you? Is God going to provide for you? Is God holding back something from you? He created doubt and possible fear in their hearts. You shall not eat from the tree of the garden. So he said, you know, he quoted something and then put a doubt on it. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Notice, she added something. God never said you couldn't touch it. Just said you couldn't eat it. So now there's something that's been added, and we always like to add something of our own into the things of God. Verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now he's lying, because he was a liar from the beginning, and also a murderer from the beginning, what God says and Jesus said, because he's going to bring death. For God knows that in the day, now notice how many yous there are here. In the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That is what he was offering them. He was offering them a pathway through them to fulfill their own destiny. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from the fruit and ate it, gave it to her husband with her, he ate it. So he was with her during this whole process. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. They knew that they were naked and they sewed fig leaves, their own coverings. So immediately now they're following their own source of providing for themselves. Whereas God was their provider, now they had to be their own provider and they put coverings over themselves. And man has been covering himself with self-religious effort ever since, trying to cover up his sin through his own methods. John 1 John 2:16 describes this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. It's from the source of the pathway of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam traded his DNA seed for knowledge and position apart from God. Humanism. This is where it comes from. Cain, the serpent seed, was the result of that trade. See, there is always a tendency towards legalism. Don't touch it. It's a law rather than life. Because the law always brings death, but the spirit always brings life. Trade of information for elevation. You can know and be like God. That's what Satan offered them. Knowledge, so they could know apart from God and be like God. You can know apart from God. Humanism, elevated human capacity. Rationalism, elevated human reasoning. This is what he offered. Cover-ups, masks, dead works all come from following that choice. So when you follow that choice, you're on your own. There's nothing of God that can be in that choice. It's down to you. Now we know whenever we're on our own and we do our own thing, it leads to death. So the things that God has built into us that we need to have met in our lives were put there by God. The need for acceptance, love, relationship. We need relationship. The need for affection that gives us value and worth out of relationship. The need for approval and significance, again, where does it come from? Out of relationship. Comes from a relationship with someone or something. Affirmation for identity and purpose, again, comes out of a relationship with something. Because Satan was offering false relationship. Not a relationship with God who would meet all the needs that we got, but a relationship with other things and other people that would meet those needs. Security, safety, and provision. No longer did that come from God. So they were then having to provide their own security and provision. That's why they immediately started building cities. You see, as soon as they started, was thrown out of the Garden of Eden, in that sense, they were disconnected from heaven and therefore thrown out into the earth. Bottom line is they then started to build names for themselves and cities for themselves because they had to protect themselves rather than being protected by God. God desires to meet all our needs through our relationship with Him. All of them. There isn't a need that we have built into our life that cannot be met from our relationship with God. But Satan always offers us another pathway to follow. Any attempt to use another source or other method is trading on demonic trading floors. Exchanging something in a hope of getting something back to meet a need. Legitimate desires of my heart, inbuilt by God, can be met by following, we try and meet them, earthly, natural, or demonic wisdom. In James, it talks about the source of wisdom. Earthly, natural, or demonic. Any desire outside of God has to come from those sources. In trading, all relationships form to meet my own needs and my own love. All relationships that I've formed to meet my own needs are negative, wrong trading and following the path of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and will produce death. No life can come from them. Ultimately, it will produce death. All pathways of the knowledge of good and evil produce death, even good ones. Because a lot of people have good causes that they try and follow because those good causes come from our own brokenness often and it causes us to feel better about ourselves because we're doing something good. But none of them can produce any eternal value. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. Because they were doing a whole load of things so people could see them and people could give them recognition and honor. And basically says, you've got your recognition in full here and now and nothing in eternity. We have to be looking at our eternal destiny, not our current needs. Because we have a long eternity and we only have 70, 80, 100, 150, whatever years here, depending on how long we're going to live. So all counterfeit methods we use for giving us those things are trading. Acceptance, approval, affirmation, all those things. Purpose, destiny. The enemy will give us happiness and not joy. Because only joy comes from God. Happiness sounds good. But it will never fulfill you eternally. Only temporarily in this time. And even then, how long does happiness last? Until the next situation comes along that makes us unhappy. Usually through relationships. Because those relationships cannot meet our needs. Satisfaction. The enemy will offer satisfaction to us. God offers fulfillment. Totally different things. Leisure. Or peace. God wants to give us rest associated with peace in the complete finished work that Jesus did on the cross. Leisure is a temporary thing so that we're not working. Cause, destiny. The enemy will give us causes to follow which are not associated with what God's destiny is for our lives. And they may look really good because they'll be covered in shiny stuff that makes it feel good to follow that cause and to do something good. But actually it may not be our destiny and will always lead to death. Trading floors, how does this work? Demonic substitutes for God's provision. That's what trading floors are. They offer a perverted altar to sacrifice on, where we can give something of our life to receive something back, but they're always perverted. They never bring life, only death. All these trades come with deadly strings attached. We think they offer us something good, and it ends up destroying us. and putting us into bondage and in chains in our lives. Because what does the enemy do? Rob, kill, and destroy. All he wants to do is to rob mankind's destiny so he can be like God. There are generational patterns that may be associated with these things that we do in our lives. It may be coming from previous generations. And I've been looking quite a lot in my own life recently about this, and it's been really quite difficult to look at that and see where these things come from and see where I'm operating them now. Familiar spirits activate and operate them. So those things that are assigned to your life, the little whispers, the little words, the things that speaks inside your head, operate and activate on trading floors. So we trade when we take the pathway of the knowledge of good and evil. We are trading. We're taking Satan's offer of something and we're giving him something of ourselves in return. And he takes what we give him and he pollutes it and he destroys it and he wants to rob our life from us. Every option for the shortcut to gratification, success, money, position, influence, or power is a negative trade. I'm just giving you the background today. Next week we're going to look at exactly what these things are. Offers us identity from performance, work, or ministry. How many people have been there, I wonder? We get our identity from what we do, rather than we do things because of our identity. It's an offer that's shiny and is full of death. The devil's temptation of Jesus is an example of how he tries to do this. Because the devil tempted Jesus in the same way that he tried to tempt Adam and Eve. And we'll look at what he did. Matthew 4:3, the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God," immediately doubt, casting doubt. Then he said, "Command these stones to become bread." In other words, make your own provision apart from God. Because you don't need God to do this, you can do it. And he answered, of course, "It is written." Jesus' answer to the devil was always, "It is written." This is what God says. And then the devil comes back to him and says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written." So now the devil's using the Bible to try and trick us. Taking the truth out of context so we will do religious things to meet our needs. Because how many religions and sects and cults all believe the Bible? And yet they're not following the truth. And we'll look at some of that next time when we look at some of the trading things. Now again, what did Jesus say? "It is written." On the other hand, it was written. Now he was put in the context of the Bible. On the other hand, it was written. "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then Satan comes back again, takes him up into a very high mountain. This was not Mount Everest, by the way. This was the mountain in the heavenly realms that showed him all the realms of the kingdoms, seven realms of the kingdom, not just the earth. So he took him up there. And again, gave him an offer of a shortcut. Because that was Jesus' inheritance to inhabit. He was the king. It already belonged to him. But Satan was offering him a shortcut. "All these things I will give you." Because remember, Adam had given them away to him. Now Jesus had come to take them back. "If you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said, "Go, Satan." Actually, this is what we need to start saying to the things and the whispers in our head. Go. Get away from me. "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Any serving of ourself is following the same pathway that Satan offered people. Quite challenging when you start to look at the thoughts and the motives of the heart. And of course, Jesus passed this test. He then said he saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. Satan's authority was broken by this. And then Jesus goes out in the power of the Spirit and starts doing miracles. Starts destroying the works of the evil one. If Jesus had succumbed to any of these temptations, he would never have been able to go to the cross and he would have never been able to do the works of the kingdom. Same thing. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We get the same offers through familiar spirits assigned to our lives. Some of those familiar spirits are generational in character and they've come through our generations. These are the seven trading floors that I've identified. I've got some of these for me in Clayton. I've looked at where they work from the Bible, and I'm just going to give you them now, and then we're going to look at them next week. Tyre, trading for money and materialism. Athaliah, for our kingly seed and our future inheritance. Jezebel, using manipulation, control, dominion, domination, and witchcraft. Cain, murder. Delilah, seduction, lust of any sort. Leviathan, gossip, lies, deception. And Apollyon, opposing the good news and the gospel of Jesus. Those are the trading floors. They're all based on one major trading floor in our heart. Comes from Nehemiah 13, Tobiah. And I'm not going to go into that. I'll go into that next week and explain where that comes from. So what do we need to do? We need to present ourselves for examination. Examine ourselves regularly. What am I thinking, saying, feeling, doing? Be ruthless and honest about your past. Don't try and cover any of this stuff up. Don't say, oh, that really isn't me. And I know it's horrible to admit all the things that we've done from these negative, horrible, demonic things. But actually, if we've done them, we need to be cleansed, purified, and refined, because the inner parts were put on the, washed with water and put on the altar. Remember, God loves you. When we're going through stuff like that, it's so easy for the enemy to bring guilt, shame, and condemnation on us, because we feel, oh, woe is me. I am undone. Isaiah went into the temple in Isaiah 6, saw the presence of God's glory, and his comment was, woe is me, I am a man undone, I am a man of unclean lips. But God sends an angel with a coal from the altar and purifies him, and then sends him out as a messenger to the nations. God loves us, and this process is because God loves us and does not want us to stay the same. Own your past trading and the motives of your heart. Confess your trading as sin. It's not just, oh, some sort of way I try to meet my own needs. It is sin. Everything that follows the pathway of the good knowledge of good and evil is sin. Seek revelation about family trading. Ask God to show you. That's it. I'm not going to go into any more today, but if you want to follow this process, we're going to stand and we're going to make some declarations. I'm going to make them slower today because I've been told I go too fast and you can't keep up. I have been trying to. It's very difficult when you're here because you can hear people going faster than you and slower than you, and you're trying to get a balance. So I will, if you follow me when I read them, I will read them slower. Okay? So if you want to open yourself up and ask God to search your heart today about the roots of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, let's stand and let's make these declarations together. Okay. Father, I thank you that you have made a way for me to access your heavenly presence. By faith, I step in through the veil of Jesus, through the way of the cross. I present myself to you, Jesus, my high priest, in surrender as a living sacrifice. I submit to the authority of the living word in my life. I step through the veil of the truth into the holy place. I stand in the light of your truth. I ask you to search me, reveal my blind self to me, show me the hidden motives of my heart. I stand in the light of your truth. Show me the pathways of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I have followed. Show me where I have accepted Satan's deceptions. Reveal where I have followed earthly, natural, or demonic wisdom to meet my own needs. Show me where I have traded by taking the shortcut to gratification through success, money, position, influence, or power. Show me where I receive my identity from performance, work, or ministry. Show me where I have formed relationships to meet my own needs for love, acceptance, affirmation, and approval. Show me where I have sought to meet my own needs through humanism and rationalism, following the forbidden pathway of self. I submit and surrender my life to following the pathway of the tree of life as my source. I commit myself to a lifestyle of repentance against all negative trading. I repent of the patterns of sin in my heart. I commit myself to a lifestyle of renunciation against all negative trading. I renounce my sin where I have followed the pathway of the good, evil in my way of life. I renounce all my defense and coping and survival mechanisms. Give me revelation of my true identity as a son of God. Give me a heart secure in its identity. Renew my mind to the mind of Christ. Meet all my unmet needs in yourself. Heal all my unhealed hurts. Restore my soul to original condition. I receive your unconditional love, acceptance, affirmation, approval from the source of the tree of life. I stand transfigured, naked and unafraid before you. I hear you say, I see you and I love you. I receive your value, esteem and worth. I choose to follow the pathway that leads to my source, the tree of life, Jesus. I step back into this realm to walk in the ways of your kingdom. Manifest your glory through me on earth as it is in heaven, so I will fulfill my eternal destiny. Amen? So I'd encourage you, search your heart this week. Allow God to search your heart, because we're going to look at all the specifics next week, which may be quite difficult.
If you've been blessed by this teaching from Mike Parsons, come and visit our website, freedomtrust.org.uk/A/R, where you'll find a whole range of resources. God has given us a mandate to raise up a Joshua generation who will enter into the promises of God and encourage others to do the same. Are you part of that Joshua generation? Is God calling you to partner with us? We'd like to invite you to connect with us on social media. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+, and on our Sons of Issachar blog. Freedom Apostolic Resource Center. We're here to help you and others find and fulfill your destiny.